Okay, today's Daf Lamed Tes. We are actually on Daf Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Beis, by the second wide line. We got a little bit to cover before we get to Lamed Tes. Still some more great, fascinating Agadata. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avrami and Chavi Khan, Le'ilu Nishmas, Avrami's father, Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen. Second line from the second wide line, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ein tzaddik nifter min ha'olam ad shenivra tzaddik kamoso. No tzaddik dies unless another tzaddik just like him is ready to take his place. Shenemar, b'zarach ha'shemesh v'vo ha'shemesh, ad shelo kavsa shimsho shel Eli, before the reign of Eli, the sun set on Eli's life, zarach ha'shemesh v'shel Shmuel, haramasi. The sun rose on Shmuel's life. And unfortunately, to explain, of course we know there's a concept of yiridat hadoros. So what does it mean, kamoso? The answer is that we should view them as if they're the same. Of course, they're not the same. Every generation gets more and more removed from Har Sinai. We go down and down and down. But we should view it as if they're the same. That's what it means, kamoso. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Ra'a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sher Tzadikim Mu'atim. Hashem saw that Tzadikim would be very few Tzadikim around. Amad V'shitz Lan B'chol Dor V'dar. So he scattered them in each and every generation. Shenemar, Ki L'Hashem Mitzukei Eretz V'yoshes Aleihem Tevel. So we said this yesterday. The Mishnah Meliyahu says, you see from here that for whatever reason, there has to be tzaddikim in every generation. It's a pasuk. There has to be. So what if you look around and you don't see any? So the Mishnah Meliyahu says, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Look at yourself. Maybe you're the one. Amar Chibar Ava Amar Yochan. Afilu b'shvul tzaddik echad ha'olam eskayin. Even for one tzaddik, the world could stand. Shenemar v'tzaddik yisod olam. Chibar didei Amar mehacha. Ragle chastav yishmar. That because of Chasdav, the world is guarded. So the Gemara says, Chasdav tu v'mashma, but Chasdav is a plural, meaning many tzaddikim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak b'chasido ksev. It's a kriyatziv, and it can be read as one chesed. His chesed, meaning for one person. Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kivin shiyatzi rov shenosav shel Adam. Since the majority of years of a person's life has gone on without sin, v'lo chet, and he didn't sin, shuvein achote, he will no longer sin. Shenemar, Ragli Chasidav Yishmar. Once a person passes half his life and he doesn't sin, he's got the rove on his side, and you can assume it'll continue that way. So Aruch Lener says the akedah that happened when Yitzchak was 37. Why did that happen when Yitzchak was 37? Why wait so long? So he says if his Avram had a brismila at 99 is a new life. He's now starts over from scratch. So when Yitzchak was 37, Avram was 38. He was 138. He was 138. 138 is 1 year rove of 175. Right? No? So therefore, Avram was rove shnosov of his new life. So it was not going to happen that he was going to fall regarding the Akedah. So all the Mefarshim asked, what about Moshe and Aaron hitting the rock? That happened at the very end of their life. So I think that one of the Mefarshim there said, I don't remember who it was, he said, who said this was could have lived for a lot longer? That caused it all to happen. In the Chanami, they could have lived for hundreds of years. Right? We believe that Mashiach would have come, that would have been the glorious kingdom. So who's to say it was over their life? Somehow we have a tradition that Avram was only gonna live 175. But who's to say? But we assume once a person goes rove, they're in the home stretch. Devarav Shila Amri Kivin Shabali Yado Dvar Avera Parmeshodo Shnei Amti once or twice and you don't home free. Shneimar Ragel Chasidav Yishmar Amri Shlakish Ma'idetz. What does it mean? It's to the scoffers, right? To the jokers, they have it. Ula Anu Yemitein Chayin. But to the humble, Hashem gives Chayin. Valatame Poschinlo. You want to sin? Poschinlo. The door is open for you. It's open for you. Valatayer. You want to be pure? Messiah knows. So Hashem helps you. So the Mitzvah Meliyahu says an unbelievable thing. He quotes a Yalkut. There was a story, these two brothers, and their father was a drunk. Such a drunk, it's so embarrassing. Wherever they went, he just got drunk. So they thought, what could they do to wake him up, give him a wake-up call? So they thought to themselves, you know what they're going to do? So when he's good and drunk, they're going to take him to the cemetery, and they'll put him in one of the open graves. And when he wakes up, and he sees where he is, that'll be a wake-up call. Like, you know, I got to take stock of my life. That's what they decided to do. And they put him in there, and he's drunk. And who passes by? A wine merchant passes by, and he has to avoid the taxes. So he tells his workers, "Listen, well, you know what we'll do? We see the tax collector. We'll bring the wine into the open grave right over there. And when the tax collector is not around, we'll take the wine back out." So they put the wine right into this open grave, and the spigot's right by the guy's mouth. And he wakes up, and he sees wine, a spigot of wine, right in front of him. And he thinks to himself, he's mamash in Gan Eden. What's better than that? And he opens up the wine spigot, and he's drunk, and the brothers come, and the whole thing was a disaster. So the Bichlav Eliyahu says, you see from this medrash, somebody wants to go down the wrong path. It's not that the door's open for him. Hashem will do crazy things, crazy story. Crazy things will happen to give you the opportunity. It's not a normal thing. A wine merchant ship, a wine in the cemetery. It's ridiculous. The door's open for you. Not that the door open for you. Hashem will make things crazy that you can have the opportunities. But Bala Tahir, you wanna become Tahir? It doesn't say poschimlo. It says Mithayin also. Hashem will help you. You think that's crazy? Imagine if you want to do good. Hashem will turn the world over more ridiculous. You want to do good. That's what he says. Unbelievable vart. Right? The Bederach Sherotza Malichin also. Same idea. The way you go, Hashem will help you. Not just he'll help you. He'll turn the world upside down for you. Right, Rish Lakish is saying, exactly. Rish Lakish, it's very interesting, right. I didn't think of that. Rish Lakish is saying that, right.
The previous Gemara says if you go half your life out of city,
right.
Have you found some of the other Gemara's about Tom and
God? They asked that question. So some say that that only means Shogig. Some say this Gemara only means Shogig. Once you pass Rove of your life, Hashem protects you from Shogig. Shogigs won't happen to you. Shogig is also considered a little bit of a taina on you. You should have been more careful. So that's what some say. Only Shogig. Look, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. You want to be a Rasha, nothing's going to stop you. You have Bechira. So some say it means only a Shogig. Some say it means most people, maybe other people have more of a tendency, whatever it is. Some say, the standard answer is it's only talking about Shogigs. You're a Rove of your life, you're a Tzaddik, Hashem will protect you from Shogig. But you want to go off the derech? You have the choice. So that's the take-home message. Okay. Come to Rabbi Shmuel. Marshal Adam Shoyimocher Nefesh Neift Afar Simon. There was a guy who was selling Neift and Afar Simon. So Neift is foul smelling and Afar Simon is beautiful smelling. So Balim the Neift. Somebody wants to buy the Neift, the foul smelling one. Amalo. So the storekeeper says, Medot Atam Atzmacha. You go measure it out yourself. I don't go near that stuff. Yeah, I sell it, but you go measure it. I don't want to touch it. But Baal Limdot Afar Simon, when the guy wants to buy the Afar Simon, the perfume, Amalo, he says, Hamtin li adje emdot imcha, wait here, I'll measure it for you. Kadesh tisbaseis aniv ata. So that I could smell nice from the perfume. Tana de Vera Bishmal, Avera mitamtemes libo shel adam. And Avera is mitamtein a person's leave. It blocks a person's leave. Shinemar. Don't become tamei. Vinit meisem bami. You're going to become tamei. Al tikvi vinit meisem. Ela vinit tamtem. Because the aleph is missing there. Don't read it as you're going to become tamei. Read it as you're going to become blocked. You're going to become removed from Hashem. Tana rabbanan. Titamu bahem. Vinit tamtem bam. Al adam mitamei atzma maat. Mitamen oso harbe. A person is mitamei himself a little bit. It ends up being a lot. Mulmata. He does it here in this world. Mitamen oso lamala. It ruins him in the next world. Ba'olam hazeh in Shemayim, in the Kisi Hakavod. Ba'olam hazeh mitamen oso olam haba. This world, it affects you in the next world. What does that mean?
What we just said.
What does that mean? So the Nesivas Olam says, you know what it means? He says that you say to yourself, listen, I'm only doing a little thing wrong. I'm only doing ma'at. The answer is, you don't know how harbe it really is. You have no idea. You think to yourself, I'm only doing something over here. Where I live, I'm not nothing to do with Hashem. That's just one little thing. Right, here. You don't realize it affects the Kisi Hakavod. I'm only doing all my zed. It's not going to affect me on Haba. You don't realize. That's how we translate it. I'm doing something here. You don't realize. And conversely, same thing with kedusha. Tana Rabbanan v'is kedashtem v'yitzem kedoshim. Adam mekadesh atzmo ma'at makdishin also harbe. You think to yourself, I'm only doing a small little act of kedusha. You have no idea of the value. It's harbe. Melmata, I'm only helping my friend. Who's going to know? No, just small little chesed, small little act of kindness. No, makdishin also melmailo, that sanctifies the kisi hakavod. Right, and ba'olam hazeh, I'm only doing something here in this world. Right, makdishin also olam haba. You have no idea the value what it's going to do for you in olam haba. That's what the Nesivas Olam says. Hajin alach amar lehem hamuna. Hajin alach amar lehem hamuna. Hajin alach amar lehem hamuna. Okay, next parak. Continuing on the discussion of the Kohen Gadol's avoda. So, Tarah Bekalfi, he grabs the box that has the two gorals, and one says Lashem, one says Lazazel. V'hala shnei goelos. Echad kasev alav shlashem, v'echad kasev alav lazazel. One says lashem, and one says lazazel. Here the Mefarshim point out, it said the word lashem, lamed shenem. It didn't say yudke vavke, or 42 letters, or whatever, these special names. It just said lashem. Hasgan b'yamino, the skan was on the right side of him, of the Kohen Gadol, v'rosh beis av mismolo, and the rosh beis av was on the left side. Imshel shem ola b'yamino, if the right one held, if the Kohen Gadol picked up the right one that said Lashem, Hasgan Amalo, the Sgan would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Had B'Yimincha, pick up your right hand, show the whole world that you picked up in your right hand the one that said Hashem. It's better if the right hand picked up the name of Hashem. Why? Was that better? Because the right hand is better than the left hand. It's considered a good segula. And in Halacha, there are two places where your right hand is favored over your left hand. One is you should hold things that you're making a bracha in your right hand. It's a lechatchila. B'dieved, of course, if you make a bracha and it's on the table, it's your yotze. But there's an extra added value to having it in your right hand. And the second thing is svarim. You should carry svarim in your right hand. Again, you don't have to. It's a better thing to carry svarim. Your right hand's favored over the left hand. So v'im mishel shel shem olav b'smolo, and if the name of Hashem was in the left hand, then rosh beis av omalo, the rosh beis av who was standing right next to him on the left side, he would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hag Beis Molecha, lift up your left hand to show everybody Hashem is over there. Nothan al Shnei Se'irim, he put them on the two Se'irim, V'omer, and he said, Lashem Chatos. Lashem Chatos. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Lo Ha'yitzarech Lo Omer, Chatos, El Lashem. Just say Lashem. V'hein Onen Achrav, Baruch Shem Kavah B'chutz Al Yolam Void. And everybody would answer, because he said Hashem's name here, that's the real name, and everybody would answer, Baruch Shem Kavod, because in the Beit HaMikdash, nobody answered Amen, they only answered Baruch Shem Kavod. Says the Gemara, Lamali Latarf Bakalhi, why do you have to grab? What are you grabbing for? So the Gemara says, Kiheki Dlo Nichvin Velishkal, because if you have time, the lotteries were engraved. So the Kohen could feel with his hand which one's Lashem and which one's Lazazel and make sure the Lashem's in his right hand. That's a do it very quickly. Don't give yourself time to do that. Don't do that. Grab one with your right and one with your left. That's why it uses the Lashon of Torah, grab. Don't feel the letters. You know, to make sure. Don't do that. Amar Ravina, Amar Rav, Rav says, Kalfi shall eight hoysa, it was made out of eight, v'shel chol hoysa, and it was not kodesh, it was chol, v'enu machzekes el shtei yadim, yadayim. And it was only big enough to fit two hands. Again, because it minimizes the ability to manipulate which one you're going to pull in your right hand. You don't have room to move around in there. So whatever you stick your both hands in, you're stuck. So that way, hopefully you'll pull out the right one. I understand that you can't have the box can't be bigger than two hands, so you can't maneuver, manipulate which one's going to be in your right hand. I understand that. Why is it made out of chol? Make it kodesh. Isn't it much better if something's kodesh? Why didn't it have sanctity? Why not? Im kain, because the Gemara answers, because we said before the box was made out of wood. And the klisharis, the eighth law of dinan. We don't have anything that's made out of wood that's a klisharis. So therefore, we couldn't be kodesh. So they're going to ask the obvious question: v'navda the kesef, v'navda the zav, make it out of silver and gold. So the Gemara answers: Hatorah chasa al mamona shei Yisrael. No, the Torah had pity on us spending more money. Torah, let it go. Spend so much money. We need such a concept. So Rashi here says. Rashi here says, because we know that when a person's house was going to become full of tzaraat, the pasuk says that the Kohen said to the guy, get everything out of your house. Why? Because it's going to become tameh. So therefore, what if it becomes tameh? You take a fork and stick it in the mikvah. So the answer is, we're not scared of the metal fork. We're scared of the kli cheres. Because once the kli cheres becomes tameh, there's no way to make it tahor. There's no way to make it tahor. You can't put a kli cheres in a mikvah. So it's going to become broken. So you have to break it. You have to lose it. So therefore, the Kohen said, so what, how much is the Kli Cheres already? It's so expensive. It's the cheapest one. And yet, the Torah was makbid on your money. Therefore, Rashi explains over here, the Torah says, get it out of the house so you can save it. And then we'll declare the house tamei, but your stuff is already in the yard. And you saved it. So you see, the Torah is chas on the moment of Yisrael. There's a bunch of Gemaras throughout Shas where this line comes up. And many times, Rashi quotes a different source, which is from Parshas Chukat, that Moshe hit the rock, and then it was able to feed them and the animals. Why the animals? Because Hashem doesn't want the animals to die. You lose all your animals. So that's what Rashi quotes sometimes. So everyone asks, so why does Rashi sometimes quote the pasuk of Metzorah, and sometimes the idea of Veshilcha of Beer as Ha'om, as Ha'Be'iram, right? That he watered the people and the animals. Why? What's the difference? So he says, if it's an issue of the entire, if it's a case where what you have is going to be totally lost, then he quotes the pasuk of the water, all the animals are going to die. So there's some cases by Benachos where the Gemara said Torah was chas on your money. Here, there's no issue of things being lost. So it's the opposite. You're doing a mitzvah. You're spending more money for a mitzvah. So then Rashi quotes this source. There's a competing that's the standard answer. There's a competing principle which we had already a few times. We had it in Shkolim. Ein anias b'makom ashiras, which in the base of the Mikdash we say don't do things cheap. Right? Don't do things cheap. So how do you reconcile these? Right? Don't. It's a very, very. There's a long. I was looking at it last night. I didn't understand. It was a gigantic Noda B'Yehuda trying to differentiate when you say Ein Anias Makom Ashiras and when you say Torah Chasa Al Monash Yisrael. The idea that he says is that when it's silver, even though it's not gold, then we would never say Ein Anias Makom Ashiras, because it's still silver. But if it's but. Other times we would say it, so it's a question. I think there are four times that it says this, four times in the Beis HaMikdash. Four times where it says Torah Chasa Al Monash Yisrael. There are four times in Shas where it says Ein Anias Makom Ashiras. There's a parallel between all eight. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Masnisin Delo Kihai Tana. The Mishnah is not like the following Tana, the Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Shlomo Belazar, Hasgan v'Kohen Gadol Machlisin Yadav B'Kalfi. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Kohen Gadol and the Sgan, each one stuck in their right hand. The Kohen Gadol put his right hand, the Sgan put his right hand. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I'm sorry, Im Bimino Shal Kohen Gadol Ola, if the Kohen Gadol picked up the one that said Hashem, Hasgan Omer Lo, the Sgan would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hagbi Yimincha. The Sgan would say, hey, you got it. Good. Raise it up. V'im b'yamino shel Sgan ola, but if Hashem's appeared in the right hand of the Sgan, then Rosh Beis Av Amar Lo LaKohen. Then the Rosh Beis Av would say to the Kohen, Kol Gadol, Dibur Milecha. Do whatever you, let it be known that the Hashem is in the Sgan's hand. And the Mefarshim say, why couldn't the Sgan say it? Because it was a slap in the face to the Kohen Gadol. That he didn't do it. It was the Sgan that did it. What do you see? According to Yehuda, the Sagan was sticking his hand in the box. The Kohen Gadol was not sticking both his hands in the box. So the Gemara says, "V'nemele Sagan." So the Sagan mentioned it. So the Gemara says, "No, kibud l'asalik b'yodei." Since the Kohen Gadol didn't pick it up, chol shadaite. The Kohen Gadol felt bad, so that's why the Rosh Beit Av would say it. Anyway, the Ma'akam Miflugi. What's the machlokas whether or not the Kohen Gadol stuck his both hands or the Sagan stuck his right hand? So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Yamina the Sagan Adif Mismole the Kohen Gadol. One holds that the right hand of the Sagan is better than the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. Umar Savar, Ki Hadadi Ninhu, they're both the same. Right? The Kohen Gadol's left hand is just as good as the Sagan's right. Therefore, let the Kohen Gadol put his both hands in. Uman Haitana, the polygon of Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the Tana who argues on Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kahanahu. Rabbi Chanina, he was a Sagan himself. He was a Sagan. The Tanya, Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kahanam Omer, Lama Sagan Miyamino. Why was the Sagan standing there? So the Rabbi Chanina is going to say, he didn't do anything. She'im, Irabo, Psul, Bekoin Manol, Nichna Sagan, Umashamesh Tachtov. If something happened to the Kohen Gadol, the Sagan was right there to take over. He didn't stick his hand in the box. He didn't stick his hand in the box. He didn't do anything. That's like our Mishnah, which I believe is the way we paskin. So, could you think to yourself, how could this ever be a halacha l'maisa issue? So, the Chabina Rav comes through. He says as follows. We know, not that you can verify this, we know that there's a hider to blow shofar on the right side of your mouth. Let's say you have a Talmud Chacham who is a Baal Tokeya, but he doesn't know how to blow on the right side. He only can blow on the left side. But you have an Ama Oretz, who can blow on the right side. Which one's better? Our Gemara says, the left of the Kohen Gadol is better than the right of the Sagan. Kohen Gadol is obviously a bigger tzaddik than the Sagan. So it's better to use a Talmud Chacham who can't blow on his right side, doesn't know how, but it's Talmud Chacham, rather than use an Amma Arat who can blow on his right side. Amazing. From left field, how the Tzibina Rav gets this psak. This, in every sefer that I had at home on Yuma, every single one quoted this Shaila. From the Tzibina Rav, the Dovid Mesharim, they all quote the same Shaila based on this Gemara. It's better for a better person to do it lesser than for a lesser person to do it better. What? No, but he's not as high as the Kohen Gadol. Otherwise, he would be the Kohen Gadol, right? So it's just lesser. A lesser. It's better for a greater person to do it in a lesser way than for a lesser person to do it in a greater way, right? Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Right. That's true. Tana Rabbanan. Right. That could have been not a bought position. That could have been the real person. Right. 100%. Tana Rabbanan. Arbaim Shama Shishime Shimon HaTzadik. For the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol, Shimon HaTzadik was a tzaddik, and he lived during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, early second Beis HaMikdash, before Hanukkah. As a matter of fact, he met Alexander the Great. So it's way before Hanukkah. He met Alexander the Great once, and right, the story is, he came down in the street, and Alexander the Great got off his horse and bowed down in front of Shimon HaTzadik, and everyone said, "What are you doing that for, Alexander? You're the emperor of the world." And he said, "Whenever I go into battle, I always saw a man in my dreams, and this is the man. And I was always victorious, and here he is." I never knew who it was. It was Shimon HaTzadik. So he was a very holy person. We'll have a little bit about him in a minute. Anyway, whenever he was such a tzaddik, so for the 40 years he was Kohen Gadol, Hashem's name, Hayagol Ola B'Yimino. The Hashem's name always came up in the right hand. As we said, that's a segula. That's better if that happened. Mikan Ve'elich, after him, Pa'amim Ola B'Yimino, Pa'amim Ola B'Smalo, sometimes yes, sometimes no. It was haphazard. V'Hayaloshen Shel Zuhuris Malbin, the Loshen, the strand of red, would always turn white. Every year it happened, it turned white, to demonstrate that the sins of the Bnei Yisrael were whitened, were purified. Mikan Ve'elich, Pa'amim Malbin, Pa'amim Ena Malbin. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. V'Haya Nerma Aravi Dolek Mikan, Dolek, the western lamp, the western candle of the menorah. Rashi said it's a machlok, is what that is. It's a machlok if the menorah was facing east, north, south, or east, west. It's a machlok. So that machlok hinges on what the Nerma Ravi is. Nobody says it was the westernmost ner. Nobody says that. The machlok, Rashi quotes, either it was the second to the last, or second to the, or the one right next to the middle on the western side. Either way, but there was a special, it's a pasuk that says that, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, that there'll be an edus el mul pnei ha-menorah. So the candle was always lit, so the parochas could always see edus on the menorah. So that's why it was always lit. It was an ace, it would always stay lit. Even though it was the first one, all the other candles were lit from that one, nevertheless it always stayed lit. Mikan ve'elich, palm dolek, palm bach, kacha, sometimes it was lit, sometimes it went out. V'haya esh shamal racha mizgaber, the esh, the fire on the outside mizbeach, constantly intensified itself. The Kahanim never had to bring wood. The wood never went out. Chutz, except Mishnei Gizri Eitzim, the two blocks of wood that we spoke about earlier. Why? Just to be Mekai in the mitzvah. But they didn't have to.
You said something not like that.
They would light it for themselves because the mitzvah would light it from yourself. So maybe they would do that too. But they never have to bring wood during the day. The fire is going out. Wood doesn't burn forever. But here it did burn forever. Mikan ve'elach, after that, pa'am mizgaber, sometimes it would be mizgaber, they wouldn't have to do it. Upa'am e'im mizgaber, v'lo ha'ya kahanim nim nim ilhavi eitzim l'marechas kol yom kulo. The kahanim were never able to not bring eitzim all day long. They couldn't just sit back and not bring eitzim. They had to. V'neshtalcha bracha ba'omer u'b'shteh ha'lechem u'b'lechem upon him. There was a bracha that existed with the omer, the shteh ha'lechem, and the lechem upon him. Right, the omer is once a year on Pesach. The Shtei Lechem is on Shavuos, and the Lechem upon him is every Shabbos. What's it? V'chol Kohen Shemagio Kizayis. Any Kohen that got a Kizayis, Yesh Ochlo V'Saver. He ate it, he was full. V'Yesh Ochlo Umosir. And they even sometimes even left it over. They were so full. V'Kan V'Elech, once Shimon HaTzadik passed away, Nishtalcha Me'ir B'Omer U'B'Shtei Lechem V'Lechem upon him. There was a curse that happened to all these things. V'chol Kohen Magio Kapul. And even if a Kohen got a small size like a bean, Hatzinuin Moshkin Esidehen, the Tzinuin,
the discreet ones would withdraw their hands. Right? They didn't want to take from it because it wasn't going to fill them up anyway. So Ben Yehoyada says, why are they called tzinuin? Discreet. Maybe they should be called tzaddikim, the kasherim. What's tzinuin? So he said no one knew that they were doing this. They didn't want to publicize it. That it was an embarrassment to the lechem upon him that it wasn't satisfying anymore. That it was such a yirida. So they didn't want to publicize it, so they kept quiet about it.
And the gluttonous ones, notun v'ochem. They would grab anyway. They'd grab everybody.
And there was one time that he grabbed his and the other and his friends for Yikarnoso ben Chamsin.
And they called the ben Chamsin, and Chamsin's a lotion of robber. Ad yomoso, until he died.
This Gemara, we had it on Tuesday night shiur. Remember? This Gemara is a discussion about what's the shiur of eating kudshim. Is it a kezayis for each person? Or is it a kezayis in total? Because they only gave out a pull. A pull is less than a kezayis. There's a related question to this. Let's say I don't have a kezayis of matzah. I don't have. Yeah, I can imagine such a time in history when people didn't have a kezayis of the matzah. Does it pay? But I have a kezayis. Do I gain anything by doing that? So everybody brings a raya from this Gemara. No, not at all. You don't gain anything. Chatzi shir by a mitzvah is no such thing. Because they didn't want to take less. Well, there's no point. That's a huge discussion whether that's true or not. Others say, well, lechem upon maybe it's different because it's kodesh, but for matzah, if you have like half a kezayis, eat a half a kezayis, you don't lose anything by doing that. You don't lose anything. Maybe you don't make a bracha. But you don't lose anything by eating half a kezayis. It's all you have. Right, and they managed to smuggle in a half a kezayis somewhere in Russia, whatever. I'm sure they would eat it. But the question is, are you mekayim the mitzvah? That's a discussion. It's based on this Gemara. How do you know a chams means a robber? I'm a rabbi bar shila, mikra. Elokai, palteini, miyad Russia. Hashem, save me from the Russia. Mikaf, movol, from the fist of the movol. The chom, it's on the robber. Rava omar mehacha. Limdu hati of dirshu mishpat, ashro chamots. The robber, right? Ashro chomot, you're talking about the robber, fa'al ta ashro chomet, but not the robbed. Right? It means that the chomet is the relation of robber. Tana Rabbanan, osu shana shimeis po Shimon HaTzadik, the year that Shimon HaTzadik died, amalehem, he told them, v'shana zu hu meis, this year I know I'm going to die. Amru lo, minayin ato yodea, how do you know? Amalehem, so he told them, v'chol yom ha-kippurim, every Yom Kippur, I always whenever I went into the Kodesh Kodashim, there was an old man there. Lavish Levanim, V'atif Levanim. He was wearing white, he was wrapped all in white.
Nichnas Imi, he went in with me. V'yatsa Imi, he went out with me. And I knew, there's
a person there.
Tayom, but today, Nizdamin Li Zakin Echad, there was a person there. Lavish Shechor, he was wearing black. V'atif Shechor, he was dressed in black. Nichnas Imi, he went in with me. V'lo Yatsa Imi, he didn't go out with me. So I knew that it was a bad sign. So who was this Zaken? So we had this Gemara already, that even Malachim are not allowed to go into the Kodesh Kedashim. So who was it? It was Malach. Who was it? So some of Farshim say it was the Shekhinah himself. There's a Shekhinah himself in the vision of a man wearing white or black. This is one of the makaros that it's mutter for an oval or an avela to wear black, and the discussion was: Is it chukas hagoyim to wear black at a funeral, to wear black when you're sitting shiva? And the answer is no, it's not, because this is one of the makaros. We had another gemara in Shabbos when one of the tanoim said, when I die, don't bury me in white, don't bury me in black. Right? There was a whole discussion over there, the same idea over there. So this is one of the makoros about how what an oval is allowed to wear, what you can wear to a funeral. Anyway, acher haregel, after the regel, chala shivas yomim, he got sick for 7 days, umeis, and he died. So when did he die? So mestame, he died sometime on Sukkos. Right, sometime on somewhere. What? No, it says acher haregel. Right, after Sukkos, so he died sometime in either late Tishrei or early Cheshvan. So I was researching this last night. Umeis, he died. Then v'nimnu echav kahanim milavarech b'shem. Then the kahanim no longer use the extra special name of Hashem when they did the goral, because It was like the end of an era. It was the end of an era. Shimon HaTzadik is no longer alive. So when I was looking, I was doing research on this. So I never. First of all, it's just kedai to quote Ben Sira, who he was. Anyway, he wrote a very long poem in honor of Shimon HaTzadik. Apparently, Shimon HaTzadik was an extremely unusual person, and he says as follows: He was the greatest of his brothers, the splendor of his people. How glorious he was when he left the temple, as he departed from the most holy, like a star shining among the clouds, like a moon in the festival season. That's in the 50th parak of Ben Sira. At the very end of Ben Sira, he wrote a very long poem in honor of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik's kever is actually in Yerushalayim, somewhere in Yerushalayim. It's near the kever of Kalba Savua and the called Kibri Sanhedrin. And where does it come up? So we always know that on Lag BaOmer there's a minhag to go to the kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is allegedly his yard site, right? However, I didn't know this till last night when I was reading this. I thought this was fascinating. Listen to this. It's from the Nitya Gavriel in Hilchas, the minhagim of Lag BaOmer. He says, Minhag Anshei Yerushalayim. It's a minhag of Anshei Yerushalayim over Ikar HaSfardim, especially among the Sephardim, legaleach b'neihem b'Lag BaOmer to give their children haircuts, an upsharing on Lag BaOmer, a kever Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik. At the kever of Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik. Never heard of this before. I don't know why. He doesn't quote why. He just says that it's a very open space and it's very good. He says a lot of trees over there, a lot of fruits over there. It's a beautiful area. And it became a minhag. People couldn't travel all the way to Meron. They couldn't travel up in the north. So they picked Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik's kever as an alternate location to have parties, to have hilula on. It's not his yard site. His yard site's in Tishrei or Cheshvan. That's the yard site. But they picked Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik's kever as a makom, very old kever. He precedes all the Tanayim. He's older than all the Tanayim. Right? What? He's mentioned in Pirkei Avos. He's the last one left in the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Right. When he lived, I was vague on purpose because we'll get to that. It's in the week next week or the week after about the discrepancies in when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash. So I purposely am vague because it carries through till about Hanukkah time. Then the reconciliation happens. But we'll discuss that later in the Masechta. So I just thought it was very fascinating that this is something about Rosh Hashanah Tzadik. I never knew that. This is a place that's still visited and still strong in people's hearts. Tanu Rabbanan. Arba'im Shana Kodem Chorban HaBayis. 40 years before the Chorban HaBayis, right, when the Zman was a few weeks. So what happened 40 years before the Chorban HaBayis? People already saw the writing on the wall. Rav Tzadik, we know from the Gemara that we all learned on Tisha B'Av, Rav Tzadik started fasting. He fasted for 40 years. So he started fasting because he saw it coming. Anyway, what happened? Lo ha'yigol ol b'yamin. Right, we said before that after Shimon HaTzadik died, sometimes in the right hand, sometimes not. But once it was the last 40 years, it never happened. Never happened. V'lo ha'yoloshim shel zuhuris malbin. That strand of red that never turned white. Never turned white. The western lamp on the menorah, it never stayed lit. The doors of the heichel opened by themselves. They were open. They basically let the enemy come in. We're all waiting for the enemy to come and burn it down. Ad shigaru behen Rabbi Yochanan Mitzakai, until Rabbi Yochanan Mitzakai yelled at them. So I said yesterday that he yelled at the doors. It's a machlokas. Some say he yelled at the doors. Like, what are you opening for? Wait, what's the rush? When the enemy comes, the enemy will come. Others say, yelled at the people, gave Musa, look at this, the doors are open. Right? Tshuva can change that. So some say, yelled at the people. Amalo, heichel, heichel, b'demata ma'aviz atzmecha. What are you opening so first? So quick. Yodea ani bach shesovcha asili charev. I already know that it's going to be, we all know it's going to be destroyed. Ukvar nisnabe alecha Zechariah ben Ido. Zechariah ben Ido already prophesied that it's going to happen. Right, Ido, by the way, was not his father; it was his grandfather. But we already know that Pesach Levanon Dilasecha, right? The doors of the Levanon are going to open for Ta'ochal Eish Ba'arizecha, and the cedars are going to get burned out. We know it already. But so then Taka, why are the doors open? Because there's no comparison. The Mefarshim said between Shmia and Re'ia, you see them opening. It's much bigger shock than if some Navi said it, right? You see it. It's much scarier. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan Mitzakai was, so maybe that goes in line with the pshat that he was yelling at the people. But he was yelling at the people, look at this, the doors are open. We know it's going to happen, but now we see it with our eyes. Try to stir them on. Amar B'Yitzchak ben Tavloi, Lomanik v'shmo Levanon. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called Levanon? Right? Shemal ben Avonosein shel Yisrael. Because it whitened the sins of the Bnei Yisrael. from the word Lavan. Amar Marzutra Vartuvia, Lama Nikwa Shmo Yar. Why is it called a forest? Dixiv, Beis Yar HaLavanon, the Beis Yar of the forest. Lama Lachma Yar, Malavlev, just like a forest blooms, Af Beis Hamikdash Malavlev. So it's two of the Beis Hamikdash blooms. We had this already. The Amar of Hoshea, Beshash, Ebana, Shlomo Beis Hamikdash, at the time when Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, Nataba Kol Milin Megadim Shalzav. He planted fruits that were made out of gold, and somehow miraculously they blossomed. They would produce fruit in their time. And when the wind would blow, it would cause the fruits to fall. That the rustling of the Levanon produced fruit. Right, the trees would rustle there, and the fruit would fall. And that would give parnasa for the kahanim, because they would tell it. When the Goyim entered the Heichal, Yavshu, they dried up, Shenemar, Uparach HaLavanon Umulal, that the sprouting of the Levanon got stopped. Vazad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Lanu, but it'll come back to us, Shenemar, Parach Tifrach, it'll blossom again, V'sagal Avgilas, Virinan, Kavod HaLavanon Nasan La. And the happiness and the exuberation about the glory of the Levanon will return. Fine. No, nothing al shnei hatsairim. So we said that he would put the lotteries on each of the goats, and then what happened? He said Hashem's name, and everybody said Baruch Shem Kol Machus Olam Vod. So Tana Rabbanan, Eser Pa'amim Maski Koron Gadolus Hashem Bo Bayom. He mentioned Hashem's name, the Shem Maforesh, before Shem Atzadik, 10 times. 10 times. What were the 10 times? Gimel B'Vidui Rishon. Right, we had this already. He said it 3 times when he brought his own power. Right? Ushlosha Bavidu Sheni. Right, he said, Ana Hashem, Kaper Hashem, and then he quoted a pasuk. That's 3 times. Then he said a second vidui where he included, the first vidui was himself and his family. The second vidui was all the kahanim. And then, Ushlosha Bavidu Sheni, second vidui, again, Ana Hashem, Kaper Hashem, and the pasuk. That's 3 more. Ushlosha b'sir hamishtaleach, 3 more times when he said that the sir hamishtaleach, that was for the whole Klal Yisrael. Again, Ana Hashem, Kapar Hashem, and the pasuk, and the echad b'goralos, and 1 time over here when he called out the name of Hashem when he picked up the goral. So these are the 10 times. Ukvar amar Hashem, he would say Hashem's name, v'nishma kolo b'yericho, and the call was able to be heard in Yericho. Amar Rabbi Rav Chana, Mirushalayim liYericho asara parsos. It was 10 parsos away. Let's stop right here. So in Yericho, when they heard Hashem's name, what did they say? Did they say Baruch Shem Kavod or Amen? So the Munkatz Rebbe had this suffix. What did they say? They're not there, but they're hearing it from there. They're hearing the name of Hashem 10 parsos away. So do they say Baruch Shem Kavod or do they say ordinary Amen? So he wants to mean he said. He said there's a medrash quoted by Yaakov Emdin that the throngs that answered Amen were so loud that the trees shook. So he says, where was that? It can't be on Har HaBayis, because first of all there were no trees, and second of all no one said Amen. So it must be elsewhere in the city. It was heard all the way to Yericho, it was certainly heard it in the city. So it must be they answered Amen. That's what he says.
Right, only in Yericho.
Right, because Yericho was special because it was the first city that was conquered. Right, so then what? They would have the din of the Beis Hamikdash. Right, there's a special connection between Yericho and right, Ein Hachanami. Right. V'tzir dalos was haheichal, and the creaking of the doors of the heichal, nishma b'shmona tchumei Shabbos. The were able to be heard 8 tchumen away. Right, 16,000 amos away. They were able to be heard. Not only that, Izim Shabi Yericho, the goats in Yericho, Hayu Misateshos Miriach HaKetores. They would sneeze from the smell of the Ketores. Noshim Shabi Yericho, the women in Yericho, Einan Srichos Lehizvasim Miriach HaKetores. They did not have to put on any perfume from the scent of the Ketores. Kala Shabi Yerushalayim, but a Kala in Yerushalayim, Einan Srichos Lehizkashi Miriach HaKetores. Also, did not have to put on any scent because of the Reich of the Ketores. So Tosfos asks, wait a minute. We said yesterday that Avtinas' family told the women, don't put on any perfume. We don't want anyone to think that we're pocketing perfume.
And we said that was for Shevach. So nobody put on perfume.
Only when they go out of Yerushalayim.
So Tosas gives a similar answer. He says they didn't live in Yerushalayim. They lived who knows where. They didn't live in Yerushalayim. This thing didn't apply to them. But they lived in who knows where. They could live in Tel Aviv. So they were far away. Right? If you lived in Yerushalayim, nobody had to wear perfume. But they didn't live in Yerushalayim. That's what Tosas says. It's very, very interesting. They worked in the Beit Hamikdash, but they lived somewhere else.
Amarav, who's this? Amarav Yossi ben Bilgoi, Izim ha'il abba v'hare michmar. I had goats in the mountains of Michmar. V'yomitatashos mirecha ketores. And they sneeze because of the ketores. Amar Rabbi Chiyah bar Oven, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Sakli zakin echad. One old man told me. Pamachas, one time alachti l'Shiloh. I went to Shiloh. V'heirachti reach ketores mibein kosleha.
And I was able to smell the ketores that was still seeped into the walls of the houses. Why? Because the Beis Hamikdash stood in Shiloh for 369 years. They burnt the ketores every day. The smell permeated the whole city. And 1,000 years later, when they were there, they were still able to smell the ketores. Right? What does that mean? That the kedusha never, the kedusha, once the kedusha comes to a place, there's always a remnant. There's always a remnant that still remains. 1,000 years later, they were able to smell that remnant, the ketores. Amazing.
Amr of Yanai, Alios Gorel Mitoch Kalpe Ma'akefes.
Picking up is it Ma'akev to pick up the Gorel out of the box? What if the Kohen Gadol said, you know what, that one's for Hashem and that one's for Azazel? Forget the lottery. They had to do it. He says, yeah, it was Ma'akev. But Hanacha Eino Ma'akeves, but placing the actual lottery, the piece of that wooden, whatever it is, that wooden piece that said Lashem, Azazel, putting it on the animal, that was not Ma'akev.
Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Af Aliyah Eino Ma'akeves. Even putting it there was not Ma'akev.
Now, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. Ali, whether or not, is a machlokes later on in the Masechta. Did everything on Yom Kippur have to be done Keseder, or could be done and not Keseder? What if it was done not Keseder? So one holds, everything had to be done Keseder. Just saying out of order, it's no good. The other one held, the only thing that had to be done Keseder were things Lefnim. In the Kodesh Kedoshim. Otherwise, it's not such a big deal if it was on Nakasator. That's the Machlokas.
Then last week, that if you went out of order, you wouldn't get the Chamech Tevilos and the...
Right, no. We'll say, within the Tevila, if you made a mistake and you went out of order. Not that you did the Kodesh Shal Eber Nabayim in the morning. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about crazy out of order. You'll see what he says. So, Aliba Drab Yehuda, Kodesh Drab Yehuda, the Omer who says, Devorim Hanas in a big day love on. Things that are done on the big day love on mi bachutz, but you're not in the Kodesh Kedoshim. You're outside. Lo miakva, lo miakva. It's no ma'akev. So then kuli alma lo pligi de lo miakva. So everybody will agree, according to Yehuda, that if you don't pick up the lotteries, it's no big deal. Because that's what he means by out of order. Okay, I mean, you left something out. It's not the end of the world. Why? Because yes, you were in the right of God when this happened, but you weren't lifnai v'lifnim. So you did a mistake. It's not ma'akev. You don't have to do it again. But keep legal leader of Nechemya. But according to Nechemya, he held at all times you couldn't make one mistake, even if you were outside. So Manda Amar Ma'akva, the one who held over here that it was Ma'akev, that's Rabbi Yochanan, Kerb Nechemya. He also Kerb Nechemya. Ooh, Manda Amar Lo Ma'akva. But the one who said it was not Ma'akev, who's that? That's Rabbi Yanai. Hani, really, that's only Avoda. That's only if it was a genuine Avoda. But Gora HaGorel, Lav Avodah, the Gora was not an authentic, genuine Avodah the way the other ones were, and therefore this wouldn't even apply. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue more tomorrow.
Thank you.